This audio is brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, the place to go for advanced dental technology and compassionate, patient-centred care. You can trust your smile with an expert team that puts your comfort first. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
Okay, so we can call the meeting to order. Is there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Teresa, do you need to talk about all that stuff with Lori Freeman that we've been emailing back and forth about, or is that good and settled?
I can mention it. With the payments from UnitedHealthcare,
yeah.
Is that what you mean? Yeah,
Just like the Nebraska, all that kind of stuff.
Yes, I'd be happy to talk about it a little bit.
That would be great, please. And we can do that under old business, probably, because it's been a kind of an ongoing issue.
Okay.
Thank you. Are there any other agenda items or changes? Hearing none, can we have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
I second it.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Are there any additions or corrections to the general meeting minutes that Teresa sent out?
I move that the minutes be approved as presented.
Second.
All in favor of approving the minutes as presented, please signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Treasurer's report.
I'll read out what I wrote. I printed some copies for the board. So at the end of August, ambulance revenue was ahead of budget by $25,000 and ahead of budget by $32,000 for this fiscal year. Our tax revenues in August were below budget by $51,000 in August and $66,000 below budget for the fiscal year. There was a transfer reimbursement total of $9,745 for transfers above 10 per month. Most of these were likely due to the very large number of transfers in July. I think there were over 20. For August, the KC ambulance service was below budget by $3,000 and for the fiscal year below budget by $7,300. Our cash position includes $1,110,399 in money market and checking and $1,054,095 in CDs. We have a six-month CD at ANB Bank, which matures September 14, and that was renewed for a six-month rather than a 12-month in anticipation of expenses for the building project. My recommendation to the board would be to transfer that CD to the money market account so it's available and can be transferred to the checking account for the building expense as needed. But it may as well earn some interest until we start writing large checks on that. In Interestingly, our cash position at this time is $285,000 above our cash position at the end of 2022, which is favorable. And review of cash and anticipated expense for the building project. If we accept the lowest bid at $1.4 million and receive the grant funding totaling $875,000, we'll essentially use the six-month CD revenues to cover the balance of the building project, which would leave us approximately $1.5 million in cash and investments in the general fund, which is the equivalent of about 428 days of operating expense, which should be more than ample for unexpected expenses. And if our current revenue stream and tax return rate continues, we would be forecast to be about a break even at the end of this fiscal year. That concludes the treasurer's report.
Should we vote now to move the money from the CD into the money market account?
Seems like a good time.
I'll make that motion.
Do we know how much is in the money, just so we know exactly? Or we can just say the six, but that's the only one at A&B Bank, right? The CD?
Yes, and that total is $525,200.21. It'll mature in 5 days.
Okay. Is there a second on that?
I second that.
All in favor of transferring the American National Bank money from the CD to a money market account, please signify it by stating aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. And then can we have a motion to approve the stated treasurer's report.
So moved.
A second?
I'll second that.
All in favor of approving the treasurer's report as stated, please signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Buffalo director's report.
So in August, we had 99 calls. 13 were transfers, 5 with nurses, 1 out of county transfer. At 51 were in town, 48 were out of town. 73 were residents, 26 were non-residents. We had 1 canceled call, 24 refusals, 2 lift assists, and 7 standbys. We had 39 of those were Medicare pay, 4 were insurance, 7 were self-pay, 1 was a Title 25. So it is an average month for August. It is busy. On the 30th of August, we had 90 calls, and in 2 days, we ran it up to 99. So it was a busy end of August.
And then, Brittany, this is Carrie. I would like to add, just report that MS-73, we are using it, but we have parts ordered through that Torque diesel to help with the DEF fluid system. So as soon as those parts come in, we'll have that in the shop. It should just take a day. And then I just wanted to let you know that Buffalo EMS is participating in the Buffalo Senior Center Health Fair, Saturday, September 28th from 7 to noon. We're going to have a booth and just help them in any way they need. And it's open to the public, not just senior citizens. And that I will be attending the Wyoming EMS Association board meeting October 2nd and 3rd in Casper. I've been nominated to be a board member for our region. And so if anyone has any issues or concerns, I can bring it to the association and then I can report back as well.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. That's all I have.
Great, thank you. KP Director's Report.
So August for us was surprisingly slow. For a summer month, we ran a total of 2 calls, only one of them being a transport. So the only other thing of note is with football season kicking off, getting those standbys scheduled and follow up, we'll get a written report because we're in a different region than Buffalo. We were had our ambulances inspected this year. We're there in the region that will do next year, so we had to do that with the state office at EMS this week. So, which everything was fine, but they'll send a written report that says here was what we inspected and everything's good.
So that's every 2 years?
I guess what they're doing now is they're doing even regions 1 year and odd regions another year. But in their wisdom, like, we're in this region for everything. Like, with our trauma region is Casper. Buffalo's trauma region is that one. So we're, all of our stuff happens out of that region. That's why we got inspected this year. They'll be next year if that's what the pattern they're going to go with. And they're very hit and miss through the years. I don't know that we've been inspected that consistently, but.
It's almost our third one.
What's that?
It's almost our third one.
Yeah, but we're supposed to be every year, every other year. You don't see it that often.
We've been consistent the last 6 years.
Yeah. That's all we have.
They gave you the verbal pass, though, or
yeah.
Said there wasn't
yeah.
anything going. Very good.
Thank you, and I'm sorry that I'm not there to see everyone that's there, but we kind of had talked about before with the KC Director's Report, now is a good time to just kind of talk about how things are going when we kind of did the change in the pay scale and things, and again, I'm not sure if this is if who's all there in terms of KC EMTs, but if you could just kind of give us a idea of how things are working, how staffing's going, is the pay scale changes appropriate, are they not working out? We really just kind of want to hear how things are going and if changes need to be made, what we can do as a board to support everybody.
So I think everybody appreciates the pay increase because, I mean, even calls and it was refusals take a significant amount of time. Like the one we had last month to go out to a car wreck on the interstate, do the things, get the refusal, come back, clean, write a report. You're still putting significant amount of time in. Other than that, where I mean, where it's the same old world, I mean, as far as actually having people on the schedule on call, probably less than half of last month that happened. I mean, or people like, I can do a few hours of the day, but I have a life. I mean, we've got, what, 5 of us now that are available?
There's 5 people available. I was on call by myself probably 14 days of the month. But it was hit or miss. Well, I might be around this morning. Well, I might be around this afternoon. I could be around tonight, which is okay when we don't have a lot of calls. But when we get hammered for a month, I will tell you right now, I will not run a call by myself. I've done it before and I just won't.
I mean, we've done pretty good. We've got some people that are for driving, and you know, some people that were like, we know are available. Like, I can just pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, and they're like, yeah, I'll be there in 5 minutes. So we kind of covered with that. So I don't know, we're gonna have to come up with a recruitment plan, I guess, at this point.
Is it they're not interested, or they just don't want to be tied down, or
some people have that,
that's
jobs.
How many, that's how many people we have left in KC is five. That's,
oh, okay.
So like our out-of-town people, because you don't want to pay them, they're gone. Other people, you know, attrition have left, so we're down to five.
And if we lost our people pay. Have jobs.
Yeah. And then we'd... And who had just left? I mean, we lost a pretty reliable. What was his name?
Seth.
And Seth.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm sure that hurt. I guess you. Yeah. If we did. If we need to bring or look at bringing more of those out of towners in, or looking at that more. I just think there was, you know, a gray area from last year, but it was less of. In my personal opinion, that was less of the issue. It was more of getting the call schedule under control. That it just wasn't. People turning in hours, and then we had five people on call at one time, and then one later. So that was the bigger issue, which it sounds like that's fixed, but we just don't have enough bodies, right? So,
that's kind of where we're at with that. It's, I think as far as fixing some of the other problems, we did really good with that. We may have shot ourselves in the foot on the other side, but I don't. We laughed about it 2 years ago, the whole people from out of town, great idea, way to cover, and then it's, oh no, that's a bad idea. So you can't, you know, like from our standpoint, we've been doing this for years, and it's just the cycle.
Do you have to be a certain age to be a driver?
That's a great question for your guys' insurance company.
I'm just thinking, too, like it would be a good afternoon after school job for a high school kid, like a senior, come in.
Yeah, they won't allow it, Brittany.
Oh, they won't?
Yeah, I think it's at least 20, 21.
Oh.
Most places you got to have a waiver if they're not 21.
And
I don't know what our policy is.
A lot of places won't even hire you unless they get that waiver signed and you've got an excellent driving record for many, many years.
You know, I don't know the exact answer, but I think, you know, our insurance would cover us at 18. But we're, you know, it's a good thing to get solid, and we don't have any kids drive. All of our drivers are over 21, so it really has never come up.
I think that's a good idea.
But I think, you know, some of our high school students, of course, we don't let them drive.
And we have always given our insurance agent a list of drivers, and they check the driver's license and they make sure, and you know, they have never come back and said, no, we're not going to insure that person unless we have a waiver. So
right,
I think I'm just thinking too in terms of, I mean, 21 seems, I mean, you can go to war at 18, but you can't drive an ambulance.
You can do anything at 18 in the U.S. now.
I think I'm just concerned because, I mean, you have some pretty, you know, I can think of lots of responsible ranch kids, ranch boys, who would be great drivers who are senior in high school at age 18. And so I'm wondering if there's some kind of waiver that we can get for that, just showing that we are desperate for this. I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking out loud with that of ways we can target some of those high school kids in the evenings or, you know.
Yeah, like our two drivers that we have that are good are both part of the fire department, and we just need to pick at them more because, A, same insurance company, we already know they're insurable. B, they have some experience with, you know, emergency vehicles. We just have to be particular about who they are. I mean, I know all of their people have first aid CPR because I taught it, but, you know, say, here's our list of drivers, especially from the fire department, because then we know they're good. I think we need to expand on that where we only have two of them right now.
Yeah, absolutely, and just doing what we can to kind of think outside the box. And the other thing, too, I don't know if you have to be a certain age for, you know, your basic EMT, but kind of going to the high school and reaching out to the high school, you know, if they have any kind of career fair or anything, and just letting them know that we're really in need and how you serve your community. And I just think reaching out to that population is kind of where a good place to get started, maybe. At least get them thinking about it.
I've taken that subject to the school district, all the way to this, to the director of education in Wyoming, and Johnson County so far has managed to have a CNA class. I couldn't get buy-in from any of the principals, the previous administration in the school district. As much as we talk about it, the state of Wyoming will give them science credit for it. This school district doesn't have an interest in that.
I'll work on that with some school board members that I know.
No, and I think that's where we need to start for small communities. If we can get in the schools, it's a great place. Why not take an EMT class for science credit instead of chemistry that you have no interest in, or, you know, earth science, whatever. It's another option to offer.
Have you gone to a school board meeting at all about this? I'm happy to do that. You have? Okay.
Yeah, and since that time, we've had changes in the school board and administration, but, I mean, it's...
Yeah. I do think it's worth bringing to their attention again, just showing how, you know, it could be a desperate need, and I think it's important that we at least bring it to their attention again so that we can say that we've sort of done our due diligence in getting this out there. And, you know, the worst thing they can tell us is no again, but at least it's on record that we're continuously asking.
Yeah, and we're in a good place. I mean, Mary has a master's in education. Michelle and I are both certified instructors for EMS in Wyoming. I mean, we meet all the criteria to do this so those kids can get credit. We just got to get buy-in from the school district at some point.
Is there a way of getting college credit? There's a lot of kids taking a lot of college credit.
That's what
we tried to do with it, is that you get dual credit.
Which we just have to get affiliated with, you know, Sheridan College, Casper College, one of them, which also is not hard. It's just,
did you, any of your classes?
Oh, yeah. Most of our classes in the past have been certified through the college. The last couple we did, I wasn't real happy on the outcome or the course per se, so we chose not to. But, you know, for 30 years, we've been getting people, they get 9 credits for EMT class. And if you're in high school, you can take that and get college credits. I mean, it's really an attractive thing for kids. I mean, I think you take this for your knowledge. Well, maybe. Take this for 9 credits. Okay. And, and it's a lot less expensive too than when you get college. But certainly that avenue is certainly something to chase.
Right. There's so many classes now that they offer the dual credit for that I would think that that would be something. Yep. Yeah.
No, like back when I started on this, I mean, since that time, they have offered a CNA class through the schools. That's kind of as far as this school district ever took it. I thought it was sad that the state of Wyoming says, go forth with all of these classes that will take you into a career, and we will give you high school credit. We'll give you college credit if you will teach them. Johnson County School District has chosen to not really pursue that. We're more concerned about sending swimmers to Sheridan or whatever at your wedding too.
So yours is directly through the college, Dave?
They have been, right.
Okay, yeah, so...
But the college typically will ask for a certain number of students, and that's really only if they're going to pay the instructor. So we've had less numbers. If the instructors choose not to be paid, so I've done it both ways.
Are you doing a class right now?
We are.
It's not through Sheridan. So it's not a dual credit?
No, not
right. It's just a straight EMT class?
Right.
Okay, so it's just you guys and it's not connected with college.
Yeah.
How many do you have right now?
Six.
That's probably worth looking at again. New board members, new administrations, and...
Yeah.
So I've got a payroll for August, and it showed that there was $750 paid for runs. And $395 for work around the barn and $2,880 for hours of call at $2 per hour, which means two people getting paid 24 hours a day for 30 days. So if we paid people to be on call for the entire month of August, why didn't we have people on call the entire month of August?
Let's see. The first, second, third, and fourth, I believe I was on call by myself and hit or miss on some hours. I will pull this out here. Fourth, I was on call by myself. Monday, Crosby was here. Nobody else signed up. At the beginning of the month, I didn't want to be on call as much as I was, and I just got to take all the calls that nobody else was on call for and be here.
Well, if you're on call and you're not going to go, why are you getting paid to be on call?
No, I will go and be on call.
You said
but I didn't want to sign up for those days, but there's nobody else on call.
You said if you're by yourself, you're not going. So what are we paying you for?
Oh, well, if nobody else shows up at the barn, I'm not going to go on a call by myself. I will show up, but if nobody else shows up, I'm not going to take a 911 call by myself.
So are these people getting paid even if they don't show up?
We didn't have calls for them not to show up to.
Okay, but if you're the only person on call for that day,
mm-hmm.
and nobody else is on call, and nobody else is getting paid, why are we paying for two people every day for the whole month? Because that's what it adds up for. Are we paying three people some days to be on call?
No, we paid for what people were here to be on call.
If you take 24 times 30, that's 720. If you double that, that's 1440. And if you double that, that's 2880. And that's how much we paid for $2 an hour on call. So if you don't have 60 call people signed up, but you're paying them, that's not appropriate.
And we had 31 days in August.
So I think one of the priorities is to have a service that's going to be available. And people expect if they call an ambulance, there'll be somebody there. I realize that's hard to do, but that's our goal. I think that's why we're all here.
This one?
You were looking at the two hourly categories, right, on the total, Doc?
Yeah, this was something that we got in an email.
Yeah, I the one that Teresa sent with the comparison. Yeah, and if you go to the total, it'll have the one more. Let's see, the total hourly of separate total hourly at those categories.
Right. Thank you.
Sorry, just checking in since it's silent. Are we still waiting to move on?
Yeah. No, we definitely need to continue to work on this. I just tried to count days. I think you only had like one person actually on the schedule.
An email.
Yeah,
it's not
and in those situations, yeah, there's just one on. I mean, deductions.
Well, that's why Michelle's here. We still have those drivers available.
Okay.
Just because we don't have another EMT on call, we have that as our plan. We're still in that world of trying to, you know, like our simple sheet of signing up, rectifying that with what Dr. Schubert has.
Right.
Like, what people say they're doing is getting done. That's where all of this started, and that's the system we've still got to. I mean, is it better? Yes. Obviously, we're not better. We've got to.
But that's the plan. When there's just one EMT on call, is
yep.
that the drive that then the drivers
yeah.
you guys have that driver's list, and we're just hoping
that one of them are on.
Yeah,
one of them comes. Okay.
Yeah, like Mark Haynes from the fire department, he's here almost all the time, and he's very clear about please call me if you need anything. So
again, yeah, one call in August, but we're not having situations where there is only one person and you are the only one and no one else shows and that we're not rolling out. That hasn't happened.
Knock on wood, through the years, that's always been the concern.
Okay.
It doesn't happen.
Gotcha.
We cover every call that comes in. It's just trying to work with the new expectation for you guys of having a more written, defined schedule is a bit of struggle.
Yeah.
With limited staffing.
Work in progress then, huh?
Yeah. Well, and that was the point of coming back and having this discussion. Where are we? Are we better than we were? Sure. We still have gaps to fill and things to work out. And, you know, we'll continue to work on ideas of how do we keep this covered. How do we get people to be, yes, I'm here, I'm on call and documenting that correctly?
Well, I foresee a day when it's going to cost more to staff this service. That's the way of the world. But if we're going to be spending money on that, it's going to come with accountability. It's got to be verified that you're getting your money's worth.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's all of our job to the taxpayers and to the people we serve.
Calculations for cost of a service are based on about $15 an hour full-time, whether you make runs or not. And when it's a low-volume service, that's a big outlay for a limited amount of service. I guess the other question I have is whether on-call pay is inadequate at $2 an hour. And I don't know that that's going to get answered right away, but I think that's going to keep coming up.
You're never going to get anybody to change their plans for $2 an hour. They'll take the $2 an hour if they had nothing else to do.
We went from three, and that was the same response.
Yeah,
three, though. You know, and so
it's,
I guess...
It's the fact that you legally have to pay if you're going to restrict someone's movement. That's all the on-call pay amounts to.
But the fact that we substantially increased the per-call was hopefully more the motivation for them to take, you know, to be around for a call and not have 10 people saying, yeah, I was on call this week, you know.
Right.
But
which I think we've had great turnout for calls. Even people that aren't on call show up. Our response has been good. I mean, people, that side of it, I agree with, has helped. People are like, yeah, well, I'll show up for that money and go on a call. I think that's been a plus, you know, to the point of like, we don't need four people. I mean,
because it's not appropriate to take that many people, and nor do we, should we pay for people who want to call like that. So.
Dr. Schiller, what do you see this program here looking like in a year? What do you see it becoming or maintaining, or just my own curiosity?
I hope we can maintain what's currently available. Mm-hmm. The facility's good. Is five people enough to cover 720 hours a month?
You know, it's through the years of you being the medical director, we've been here multiple times, so.
Yeah, I guess that's why I'm asking, because I don't know and all of that, so I'm just curious.
Yeah, I see the cost of maintaining motivated and trained staff going up. Mm-hmm. Because I think we're still transitioning from a volunteer service that was a real bargain for the county.
Yeah.
And that's really pretty much gone already. When the workload is less, I think you can justify a little less reimbursement, because it's easier to be on call if it's not every night.
Yeah.
Getting up, going,
sure.
Getting hammered. And I think we're also benefiting from people who take pride in and want to serve their community, and there's some commitment there, but you can't abuse that. You've got to reward those people, if not in money, in gratitude and recognition, whatever it takes.
Sure.
And I think we're still on the early stages of figuring out how to maintain enough training and developing an interest in upcoming workers.
Motivation.
To be part of it. There is interest. There are people who want to be EMTs, and it's been adequate, but it's been a little unpredictable, and it seems like we're always courting the possibility of just not having enough people to make it work. Nobody talks about the 25 years of getting people where they needed to go when it was necessary, but they do talk about somebody who can't get an ambulance when they're having a problem and a bad outcome. And that's hard to overcome. It's not something you want to have to go through if you can help it.
Well, like from our side, the flip side of that is the expectation every time one of these rolls out the door is that they're getting the exact same thing they see on TV. That every person in it has all the tools, all the skills, and that's not the reality of EMS, especially in a rural community, but there's still a standard we have to meet, and hence even getting people to show up to training becomes hard. And that's that motivation interest factor.
Yeah, and the work's gotten, there's a lot more maintenance of certification than there used to be.
Well, my EMT book was that thick when I became an EMT. The EMT basic book is now that thick.
Yeah, we're pricing a lot of people out of the market.
You had to know how to stop bleeding and do CPR. Now you need to know the pathophysiology behind why they had a heart attack and what you're doing while you're doing CPR as an EMT basic. I don't disagree that those are important things to know, but it's hard to get people to do it for free. Spend 6 months of their life learning that for free.
And maintaining that. I was just, like I said, I was just curious where you envision things in a year. I'm a whole picture and then the parts to get to that whole picture. So, thank you.
Well, I think the healing of this, if I may, needs to start at the state level. And it's a drum I've been banging for several years, more than several years now, that the EMS standards that the state puts out, and I don't disagree with them, are higher and higher and higher. And the higher they go, the better the people are, but the harder it is to recruit these small towns. You take somebody and you say, all right, I want you to be an EMT, that's 120 hours, okay. I want you to be an EMTA, okay, that's 125 hours or 130 hours, whatever it is. And then you have to pass the NREMT, and nightmare stories go out there about, you know, Bob's got a master's degree and he flunked the NREMT. I'm not going to go into that and show, prove that I can't do it. And the state needs to come to grips with the fact that small towns, you get what you get when you live 40 miles from the nearest town or 100 miles into the Alaskan bush. Have appendicitis, you're going to die. And that's your choice. You know, but and the smaller the town, the harder it is to keep them staffed. And that, and the people, you know, volunteerism back in the Rome Taylor days, you know, was gone. And they did it because they loved the community. I'm not saying that people don't love the community, but they're not willing to give up their life. And I think I think this needs to start with Mark Gordon and work its way down from there and say, look, we need to preserve ambulances in towns like Casey. Remember when we shut the ambulance off in Lynch? People in Lynch were mad as heck, and rightfully so, because they didn't have an ambulance, but they did one call that year, and it cost a lot of money to keep it there. So Story used to have an ambulance. Claremont had an ambulance, you know, and they had a bunch of EMTs. You know, Story had 15 EMTs at one time. But I personally think that as a board and as directors of the ambulance, to go to the state level, to the high, and I've preached this, but I'm not to the right ears, I hear. So anyway, that's my thing.
It was also easier, I think, and I tortured the state office about this. We used to have a state office rep. They came and helped put on the classes. They did the testing. They did all of those things. The state office, the EMS now, doesn't do shit except for sit in Cheyenne. We saw those guys all the time because they came and helped did the training. They checked in, like, what do you guys need? What can the state do for you? Oh, you're going to have a class? We will come in and help you teach that. We have books for you. The guy that did our inspections is a contract person. The state office EMS can't even leave Cheyenne. They contract with somebody to come do our inspections. I mean, that's what's sad is Cheyenne is, it's nobody leaves Cheyenne to help anybody here now.
They need to come to grips with EMS in Chicago. It's not the same as EMS in, you know, Casey. And we need it. We want it. You know, maybe you make one call a month. But what if that calls your son? You know, my golly, you want that ambulance.
But our average is 120 to 150 calls a year. It has been for years. Yeah, we ran two calls last month. We have months we run 20-some calls. That average has not changed in years. We're going to knock on wood. That's what many calls we'll probably run this year. Again, people expect us to be here.
Yeah.
And rightly so, because pay taxes for it in this county.
Well, there are those. And if you look at what happened in Sheridan, and how Gillette is now the regional service for that community, who will argue that in more isolated areas, people in KC will be waiting for an ambulance to come from Gaspard, that those people have the money and the training and the experience, and, you know, you choose to live way out there. The service is in Gaspard, and KC will be served by that service, and that's going to be an uphill battle if the large towns and the administration is in favor of that.
Yeah, I've got very mixed feelings about that. I work for that service. I think the regionalization is a great idea, with the caveat that they don't put any effort into the Claremonts, the Stories. Will they respond to them? Sure, it's part of their contract. They have no vested interest in them. same thing in this county. Would they take over Buffalo? In a heartbeat. I've had very pointed conversations with those people. They don't give a shit about Casey. There's no money in it.
I'm going to fight tooth and nail to keep regionalization away, because I don't agree with you thinking that it's a wonderful thing. It's not a wonderful thing. And, but if you don't have an ambulance, it's better than nothing.
But it also allows for allocation of resources in a way of you can hire people, because now it's a career, not
a part-time,
gig, and you can work here, and you can work here, and you can work here. I mean, is it the answer? I don't know. I see both sides, and like I said, I work for them. There's things about it that I like. Will it work here? Absolutely not. So, but, we can have this discussion forever.
Moving on.
And we've talked about it so many times.
I didn't mean to open the can of worms.
Well, it's good to review the obstacles from time to time.
We'd like to know that we could fix EMS in this room tonight, and we can.
Yeah, it's a problem. Not today. You there, Brittany?
Sounds good. Thank you guys for the conversation. Next is old business and the new building. So we had a pre-bid meeting a couple weeks ago, and then we had a bid opening on Thursday, and there were three contractors who submitted bids. They were Klondike Construction, Ace Builders, which is kind of a Buffalo Sheridan, and then Van Ewing, which is a Gillette Sheridan. The lowest bid came in at $1,431,216.15 by Ace Builders. The other two were 1.6 and 1.7 approximately, with some numbers after that. So what happened is Nelson Engineering then went through, and they really just look and they go through each line. So contractors had to submit a line for how much they thought this would cost, how much this would cost. And what they do is they just go and essentially one of the biggest things is they just double check their math to make sure that they didn't just make a math error somewhere that kind of was the big difference between the 1.4 and the 1.6. And so they did that. And so they believed that we've gotten a letter from Jake Wright at Nelson Engineering, who said that they've reviewed all bid packages. They were all complete responsive bids. The two lowest bids, which were the 1.4 and 1.6 from Van Ewing, Klondike Construction was 1.7. The two lowest bids were nearly identical, except for the cost of constructing the building itself. Van Ewing Construction included a Cleary Building as a subcontractor to erect the structure, and that's where that difference in the money came from. And so they've gone through everything. Jake had said, I am familiar with the contractor from previous projects, the Ace Builders contractor, and they have no reservations about them. They think they're going to be a good fit. The project manager for Ace Builders is a Buffalo resident and previously worked for Odell Construction, also of Sheridan. The bid package and experience supplied by the contractor meets the requirements of the instructions to bidders and the bid form. And then they also do a thing called SAM.gov, where you look up if the construction company has been barred or suspended, and they did not find any record of the company or its principals being debarred or suspended by any agency of the federal government. Likewise, there is no record of any of the proposed subcontractors or suppliers having been debarred. Then, although the low bid amount is above preliminary estimates, it is my understanding that the necessary funds to complete the project are available to the owner, and they have explained to Ace Builders that the budget is relatively tight for us, and Ace Builders has expressed an interest in completing some value engineering with the design team to help reduce the overall cost of the project. So based on this analysis above and the federal funding requirements that we have to have the contract in place no later than October 1st. It is hereby recommended that the bid be awarded as one contract to Ace Builders, Inc. of Sheridan, Wyoming for a total bid price of $1,431,216.50, with the understanding that a deductive change order based on results of value engineering will be issued prior to the beginning of construction. Nelson Engineering also said that the timeline that they're willing to work under is responsive and appropriate. And so we have to do two things. We need to vote to agree to accept Ace Builders as the contract for the new building. And then I need you guys to also vote so it's in the minutes that I am able to go to Nelson Engineering and sign the contract so it can be awarded. Are there any questions with any of that for those of you who maybe weren't at the meeting?
Brittany, I think it's worth noting just from Jake's letter that you mentioned the discrepancy on what their initial estimate was versus the bid. But I think it's important noting Jake's commentary of, you know, it should be noted that the estimate was updated last in February, and that was prior to the additional requirements of the fire sprinkler and alarm systems. So that was some of the difference there from 1.2 to the 1.43.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Just not that.
Well, that was Jake's. That was Nelson Engineering. Yep. Yeah. Estimated cost of the construction. Yeah, absolutely.
Just thought that was worth a reminder for the public.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Yep. I don't believe so. I have the Jake sent all of the information. Just one second here. So when I open up the bid for them, this is really a lot of foreign language. It is a whole new world of stuff when you look at their bid. But it doesn't say, that the building, like, they are going to actually be the ones to construct. So it says construction of ambulance barn building is its whole separate line. And so they are going to build it themselves, and it's projected they have $1,061,908 for them building the barn themselves.
But
did that answer your question?
Well, I guess I didn't know if it was. I'm not very good at the construction terminology, but I think there were options for post-pole building, help me out, Crosby,
a
with
pole building versus a stick
like
build,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, so like your post-pole barn type would be a Cleary type, or they could just do like a slab with footers and do just regular official stick frame walls.
Right, and I don't know what this is. I guess that's my question. Is the quality the
for
same?
Yes, for the height, I'm assuming I'm seeing this stuff, that it's going to be a post frame just to get that height for, you know, conventional frame. You can't, it's hard to get those tall walls. Whether it's Cleary, Morton, A&B, they're all going to build that post frame construction. That's what 90% of the bigger, until you go to steel, that's what they all are.
I looked up their bid tabulation and it doesn't say. It just says construct ambulance barn building, which I can talk to Jake about that.
It's also whatever that your engineer designed, which I assume that was the design, was for a post frame type building.
Well, I think he had a couple different options, but I'm sure the most cost effective was that.
And I think that's why the other one stated that it would be the other venuing said they would do a Cleary building.
Okay.
and the other two were not.
Okay.
Sorry, I know that doesn't really answer the question.
As far as quality, I would think that there would be an equal quality.
You've got a good engineer drawing, you've got a good engineer doing
right.
your inspections. I mean,
right.
who builds it is kind of irrelevant. They're going to hold them to that standard no matter what.
Right.
Well, I would make a motion to accept the bid of Ace Builders for the $1.4
million. I'll second that.
All in favor of approving Ace Builders to be awarded the bid contract for the new ambulance barn, please signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. And then could you, someone please entertain a motion that I am able to sign the contract?
I move that Brittany be given permission to sign the contract with Ace Builders.
I'll second that.
All in favor of giving Brittany permission to sign the contract with Ace Builders, please signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. While we're on this, I do have to leave for the football game, but I did just want to say and talk with Teresa, and I think it can kind of be a group effort. Marilyn had kind of mentioned, you know, she's going to be done, she's done anyway, but helping with the building in terms of the drawdown and everything. And so I just kind of asked, kind of as a board, I'm willing to take that on. I think we can, you know, see the amount of work that is going to be done. But I think it's something that we can all just kind of pitch in and work together with for this to get it done. But just to have that, it's going to start getting busier, I think, as we move along with things. In terms of that component with the federal money that we're getting. So, and then, perfect. So then the next thing on the agenda is the new ambulance. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to get off now so I can drive. But if someone could please take over, I would appreciate it. And I thank you all very much. And I'm sorry again for not being there in person.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brittany.
Thank you.
Well, I'd be willing to move on to the old business item number two, new ambulance update and options for a second vehicle.
So we have three bids. We wanted a bid on a van, a new ambulance, and a remount. And we're looking at a Ford F-350 diesel 6.7 engine, and the new ambulance bid came in at $305,246. The rebuild, the remounted, which is our old top back on a new chassis, is $241,292. A van type ambulance, brand new, that can be here in about 20 days. It's $118,338. And what we're buying this ambulance for primarily is we need something really reliable to make all the transfers that we're going on. Transfer ambulance got 200 and some thousand. Will it go a half a million? Yeah. Or will it go a million miles? Maybe. But, you know, every time I leave them all, I'm kind of worried. And I think for less than half the price, the van is more comfortable. We're never going to have more than one patient back there, typically. You know, all of the big ambulances can hold four people laying down. We don't need that. And typically, an EMT and a driver and a patient, we have an ambulance transfer right now going to Billings. An EMT and a driver and a nurse in the back with the patient, and that's not unusual.
But there's plenty of room in the back for two people and a patient. Our recommendation would be the van for what we need now at half the price.
Probably less gas money.
Yeah, well, less maintenance all the way around, yeah. Right?
Is it like one of those Ford Transtar?
Yeah, and I've got some pictures in there. I visited with, I think, the Powell director, and he says that they're going to buy another one. They just love it. They put one in a place, and he was very hesitant, but because of...
We got two of them the exact same way out.
Yeah, and he liked...
I don't like them. I like that I can stand up in them. They're tall. They're narrow. In the airway seat with a patient that's right here, if you're not 6'2", it's fine. I mean, I took a guy the other day with a chest tube and a drain. I had plenty of room. I've taken patients that are on vents. So I've got a vent. I've got multiple pumps going with meds. There's room to mount it all. You don't move. Once you get all your pieces set, you're done. They're not a 911 truck. But as far as 99% of your transfers, you have a patient with a drip or a pump. Very rarely do you have that much equipment. They're super smooth. They get better mileage. I mean, the life of them is shorter, but they're a third of the price. So, I mean, we run two of them. The one we got in Sheridan's, I don't know, we just had some issues with it, but it's at $160,000. Better mileage, way cheaper to run.
Absolutely. About $118,000, you buy two of them for less than one cost.
And $305,000. And that's the reason Campbell County bought them, is they could buy two for less than the price of one new one. Even knowing, and I've talked to the guy, pal, same thing, you don't get the miles out of them with diesel, oh well.
I think the turnaround, that's a nice compared to, we got to get our name on list so we can get it in 2 years.
Yeah.
But I think
that we can get this pretty quickly, right? So
for that type of service, I would agree. They're good rigs. If you're not trying to fill them with all your 911 equipment, backboards, loops, and all that, they're great.
So if that's doing 90.
The only thing about them that I don't like, they take a weird O2 bottle in a sideways rack.
Yeah.
It's just a...
That is a...
But that's just something, once you get them, you get used to it. It's a different size bottle you have to stock than your big rigs and where it goes. That's not a big deal.
$200,000.
Like, we need that model.
$200,000 inconvenience. Because that would, 99% of the transfers, this would fit.
It would be way better. People, if we have a complaint on a transfer, it's bumpy.
Yep.
It hurt me. And this is going to solve that too.
They're way better than that. They're back to the old small gap vans that we had that rode pretty good. They're not like the diesels are now with the air ride or liquid ride suspensions that beat you to death. So
I think that's a good option.
Yeah, if you're good with that, I would agree with you. They're not a bad rig for that type of service.
So MS-106 will go out of service.
I'm not sure that we're not going to sideline MS-73 because it's the one that's been
turbo issues.
Every time we turn around, there's something different.
Yeah.
Even with 206,000 miles, I'd rather take 106 than 73. And we're, 73 has been limited to in town right now. We did make some transfers with it because it is newer. But I think because it is newer, we might get more, get a better trading on it. And we just dump 106 into that 4,000 spot.
Nice. What was our time? What was our timeline on that? Because with the new one we're getting here, hopefully by the end of the year.
20 days is what they said if we ordered it. From the order to completion is estimated 20 days.
Well,
right.
To get it here, we'd have to do something. We're going to use a power load that we have and take it out and we're not, buying a new.
Right, budgeted for
but going
power
load.
So I would say a month to 6 weeks.
Right.
When we talked last month, MS-73 was iffy whether it was even going to be used. We are able to use it, but I guess
if you're willing to do it within this fiscal year, I would recommend making that decision as soon as you can.
Because I guess that was the question. What did we...
We would need to appropriate from the general fund the $118,000.
Because the reserve, we moved the reserve that we from last year to this year, for since this one was coming, didn't hit last year, right? We just moved that reserve over.
You just carried that forward, I think.
Okay.
And I think our ambulance revenue is up, and as you know, our out-of-county transfer, we're at 99%. So I feel confident that the transfers will help pay for that over the next couple of years, if they haven't already, you know, because we've already made about $500,000
right.
out of county transfers.
Right.
Well, to put it another way, even if you pay for the large truck coming in December and allocate everything for the building, you're still sitting on $1.5 million in cash and CD, and you need a fourth ambulance more than you need a balance in the bank that exceeds 1 year of operating expense.
Right.
And the nice thing is you still have three trucks. If this one's too small for multiple patients or needing a lot of equipment, so you've got the flexibility. In the meantime, every time this goes to Billings or Denver, you're saving quite a bit of money.
Mm-hmm. I would think so. And miles on those bigger ambulances. So what would be the appropriate way to do this, since we were to approve this financially?
I guess now that, I mean, just having options, we want to get this emailed and table this to next month, knowing that that van turnaround is a lot quicker process. We want to do something faster, I guess, is the question.
I don't know that there's an advantage of waiting except for moving the funds around, right?
Yeah, we have the money. And we've got three reliable trucks right now and one that's iffy, and we're still waiting on the delivery of the replacement. So it would seem that sooner is better.
That's and what my thought process is.
I think we can utilize general fund to cover the cost of that when it can be delivered.
Mr. Chairman, can I just offer a piece of advice? I think probably what you're going to want to do is do a budget amendment and create a line to pay it out of, which would be most agreeable to the Department of Audit. Where you'll run into problems is if you appropriate dollars that you didn't budget for to begin with, even if you stay under your overall budget. So I think you've got time. My advice to you, and I would have Teresa maybe visit with the Department of Audit, is to advertise a budget amendment to create that line once you have the amount,
yeah,
and just pay it out of that so that you meet your requirements for your annual audit. Yeah.
Appreciate that.
That's a great advice. Thank you.
I think that is a good plan.
Yeah, I think your accountants would be able to advise you on exactly the timeline.
Yeah, Teresa, could you check on that?
Yeah.
Clinical. Let us know. Then if we need to get a separate meeting scheduled between the next we can, or at least get that advertised for the next meeting.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, that could be included in the next meeting.
At 20 days, you know. Estimated 20 days. Yeah, that's...
How about before the end of the year?
A little more peace of mind, yeah.
I just want to make sure we do it right.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it. I think we just need to do it right.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks for getting those options together, guys. That's a good alternative.
Okay, and then Teresa, what are you going
to do? Yeah, so are we on to the payments? Through the audit.
Well, we have a call for old business.
Yeah, I think we added line 3, didn't we?
Yeah, she added a number 3.
Brittany asked me to discuss the payments that were sent to the old address. So through the audit, they found that there were some deposits that were on the deposit sheet from the billing company that we actually did not receive the funds for. And so I contacted Lori through the Total Practice Strategies, and she was able to call the insurance company, and we were able to locate the deposits that were in question. And then within last week, we received all the funds.
Oh,
so
nice.
She worked very quick.
Awesome.
Good. And then,
and those were from Hurricane Claims?
So they were trips that the new billing company had billed, but the payments were sent to the old billing company.
Oh.
And so they were just sitting with the old billing company, not processed. They were actually the credit card payments. And so she was able to call the insurance company and get the information, and I processed it. And I think the funds were to deposit today or tomorrow. So.
Oh, nice.
Good.
How much did that amount?
It was around $8,000. There were 5 trips, I believe. And I'll stand in connection with Lori to make sure that doesn't happen in the future. But thank you for doing it. It was good that the auditors noted that for us, so we could look into it.
Is there any old debt with Quick Claims that remains? Or
not
are we
that
completely
I've
finished
no,
with
I think
that?
We're done. They may be receiving a few payments that I still am getting in the mail, but they're not actually processing the payments. They're just forwarding to us.
All right, then, any old business? Hearing none, we're now on to new business. First item would be vouchers. I'm not aware of any other items for new business. Well, there is a deadline for these grants. This October 1 date for approval of, and I think Jake is aware, and I think that's the reason the contract states they have to respond by the 20th of September. And I think Brittany's aware of that, but that's kind of our next critical deadline is to debt submitted for those grants. Okay. Public comment. I think we did that. All right, we're ready for vouchers.
I'll send them your way. I have a check that I did prepare for Stryker, but through some emails with Carrie, I think we're going to hold it for right now. It was for the power cot and docking station and then some accessories, so we were going
to... Yeah, we'll hold on to that. And what was the amount on that one?
Full amount would be $33,088.77.
I think that one should go through. It's just the for multiple accessories we've been trading back and forth. So we did receive the power cut.
Okay.
We haven't received the power load. So if we want to make sure we
want to sign,
because the power load Stryker was paying for it.
Sure.
Or not Stryker. Sawtooth vehicles, our ambulance.
I guess these will deal around to you.
So I do recommend paying for that.
Oh, this one is okay.
Yay.
Okay. Okay.
I thought there was one for like $4,000 for accessories that we're kind of trading back and forth, getting the right accessories.
Okay.
Because we wanted a different power source and different cords. So I do think that one.
I'll have you just peek through it and see what you think. Can we do the check and get with them?
Yeah, well, and they'll give it a credit if we need to. So.
It's more district wide.
We had two Murphy State plans.
So he can see himself staying with them.
And if I could have one of you sign the vouchers for the district expenses.
Down here.
Yeah. Brittany usually signs.
I asked him if he wanted to do that. So since he's the treasurer.
Yeah, that would be great.
He doesn't know. He does. Yeah. So how does he go about going?
So did Marilyn or Brittany talk with you about some accounting that goes along with this building and
for the drawdowns? We did have a discussion several months back when we met earlier before meeting, and she kind of went through it real quickly.
Yeah.
I haven't been involved with the actual process. I know that you as the treasurer have to sign off on those drawdowns, but possibly there's a way we could all meet. I know.
Is that what she was talking about?
Yeah, that is what she was talking about.
Well, and
is it sent in an email? Is that how you should do the drawdown software? How does it come through? Like, am I
I think we'll need to get a work schedule from Maryland about what those responsibilities are, so we've been delegated. Do you have the flexibility to do
It will need to be done.
Hopefully it's not a very extensive process.
You know, maybe we could even figure out how to meet after a general meeting. Like, you bring the computer and claim and just sit down and do it. That might be an easier solution.
Yeah, then we're
then setting
together.
Aside another time. Tentatively thinking after the meeting, because if it takes longer than you expect it to take, then you wouldn't have to interrupt what you're doing in the process.
If you're going to leave room there, let's do something with it. The thing I didn't like is that the one ID hook was way at the front up here. They did mount
Thanks for sending those extra payroll reports, but I do think that a year over year is going to be nice to kind of keep a trend here for a little bit.
Is it better to see the quarter? Or would you like to see here today?
Probably the quarter's good for now, because it is probably year to date, pretty much, right?
I guess it would be.
But then maybe that we have year, I guess. Could you just add it?
Okay. I mean, so right now we have 4 weeks.
Add a second.
Because that's actually quarter.
That was quarter.
Okay, maybe just add a caller year to date, too, if it's tracking quarter, and then maybe year to date. That would maybe capture some sort of
transfer. It'd have to be two separate full reports. I don't think there's a way to do year to date.
But I mean, yes, we've got our
move. I'll check.
Okay. Changing.
You know, all of our stuff on the
categories for that.
It'll be nice. The life hack either sits on the head of the gurney or goes over in that. So taking that one slide around and basically a recess shelf with that mounted. And then there's a couple outlets there so you can plug your life back.
And maybe I could even create a spreadsheet that's outside of QuickBooks. It would show it a little better.
As for the actual pay.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's...
Maybe good if it was just if you did just have to do one more and it was all quarter and one was annual, that's fine. Someone's got to reinvent the wheel or
yeah.
I don't know when we put a stair chair.
Yeah, more work than the other team.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Well, it's in the new stair chair.
Well, Marilyn created the whole mess.
She's not officially done, right? She's going to make this marriage. She has one more.
Well, it would be officially once the meeting. I think we were just discussing October. October and November. You know, maybe we could plan to meet after the October meeting and she could still be with us and go through the drawdown process with all of the board members. And
that'd be helpful.
I'll reach out to her so she has time.
Yeah,
I'll kind of think through that.
I do need your signature on this, Dr. Sheeler. It's for the F30 form that has to be sent to the auditors before the end of the month. And here is treasurer. We need to sign here. Date. And then also on the back. You just have to specify that you've had that public officer training. And then I'll do the form and send submit it to the
certification. Versus degree, I guess. If you have a certain degree, like CPA, that can raise that.
up and down the interstate.
So where are we in the audit process for fiscal year 23?
So 23 was complete. Okay. Or no, excuse me. 23 is in process right now. That is the audit. At this moment, I think they said they would have the final reports to us.
I seem to remember a deadline by December. But it's a course fair up at the northern tip in the Arctic Circle. Yeah, but it's like top 100 in the world, but it's a trek to get there. But it's pretty cool spot.
Yes.
Because they don't like
this. I think it's probably a good thing it's a trek to get there. That's why it's probably a good thing it's a little difficult to get to, or else it probably wouldn't be kind of what it is still, because it's pretty remote and.
Yeah. Had a great time.
I could not understand why you had to go all the way to Norway to play golf.
So what was the inspiration for doing that?
It's just the course up there is. It's been a hidden gem since they kind of got it going, but it's becoming a lot more well known. But it's top. It's ranked 45th in the world. And,
what did he say?
It's pretty unique for the location. So we caught some northern lights, which was pretty lucky, and looked out on the weather. Kind of a random destination.
Who is this?
Brad. I was just like, she's like,
I'll go back and
argue. He's pretty good at flight
medics. I was just like, how are you doing your math? He's like, well, I did my math.
I'm a little behind.
How long were you gone?
About a week, but we were there for about 4 days.
Okay.
So what did they do to the turbo on 7-3? They're sort of taking part of it off, or?
I'm not sure. You know, they said, first they said it was okay, then they said, but I guess it's not okay. And I trust them. I think they're honest about it. And so I can't, they're doing something with the fans, the fan blades or something.
So it was 4,000 versus 8,000 or something?
Versus 20, I thought it was maybe one of the options for a complete new
all injectors.
Turbo.
They're not too far gone.
Well, that's what they said. It's, you have to go underneath. I don't know where in Chevrolet said they don't even know if they could, because they don't have a lift that lifts that heavy of equipment.
Yes, some of those they have to take the cap off.
That's what they have to do.
But torque mount. But they have a lift. I don't think they have to take it completely. I think we're doing the first option, not completely.
And you still might end up at the end with the 20. It's a sad part. Right. Maybe the four will fix it, but you may still end up at the, by the time you troubleshoot it all.
That's why we need to get rid of it.
That's why this one would be in that one go.
Well, that was the last 192 we had, only had 20,000 miles on it, but yeah, if we dumped 20 grand into the motor twice, it's like it has to go away. We can't afford to keep it on the road, and then it's not dependable.
We don't have that anymore.
Where did Seth go?
Alaska.
He went back.
Yep. Last day was 14.
So it's okay for me to remove him then?
Yeah. I said September, because he did work.
Is everyone else on that list still?
Yep, we already went through it before Seth. He's in it.
Do you want to hang on to those? If there's anybody on those?
Can we make it Cam? Okay. Do you put in a year's time or not? Adding
they didn't do that.
A consistent year's time, I should say. Not just
so we need to prove
vouchers,
say.
Right?
Yes. Okay. So I move that the vouchers that were presented and they are approved.
Second. Been moved and seconded to approve the vouchers. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Vouchers approved.
Motion to adjourn.
I mean,
I second it.
It's also been moved and seconded to adjourn. Those in favor, say aye.
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 There we go.
This audio was brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry in Buffalo. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.